All right, reading Psalm 88. If you're using one of the church Bibles, it's on page 925, but it should be up on the screen. It's a song, a psalm of the sons of Korah, for the director of music, according to Mahalath Leonoth, a maskil of Heman the Ezrahite. Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. I am overwhelmed with troubles. My life draws near to death. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like one without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I am confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They have completely engulfed me. You have taken from me my friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks for reading, Nick. And you may have seen that reading's in the inside of your service sheets. There's an outline then for the talk, so you can see where we're going. This is week two of a little three-week teaching series we've called Winter Warmers, which feels particularly appropriate this morning. And if you want to huddle under one of the heaters, then you are very welcome to do that. Last week, we were thinking about how to deal with anxiety. Next week, where we can find safety in life. Today, what to do in the darkness. Many of the Psalms in the Bible are written by people who are experiencing some sort of trouble, suffering, and they're crying out to God for help. And almost always, those Psalms end with a note of hope. They end with the psalmist saying something like, "Yet I trust in you. I will see your goodness." Last week, Psalm 27, "I'm going to wait for the Lord. I'm confident I'll see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." But in this psalm, there's no happy ending, is there? It begins well. Verse 1, "Lord, you are the God who saves me." But the rest of the psalm, he speaks about his experience, which seems to deny that claim. The final line, "Darkness is my closest friend." It's pretty bleak, hopeless. And it kind of begs the question, what is this doing in the Bible? The Psalms are the songbook of Israel, if you like. They're the songbook of the Bible. And so imagine coming into church this morning, and the first song, Psalm, announces, we're singing Psalm 88. And we're singing about God's wrath being heavy upon us, and how he's taken away our friends, and how darkness is so close to us. It's hardly a rousing opening hymn to sing, is it? And so what is this doing in the Bible? Well, actually, it's doing us a lot of good. It's doing us a lot of good. And hopefully this morning, over the next 20 minutes, we'll gain something from this dark psalm. So can I pray that might be the case for us? Father, we thank you that you've caused your words to be recorded for us in the Bible. And we believe that, as we've sung, your word is true, it's strong, it's powerful, and it's useful for us. that your words in the Bible are for our learning. And so we come to this psalm with all its darkness, and we come ready to learn what you have to teach us. Please open ears, minds, hearts, that we might receive what you want to say to us and how you want to form us and change us. For Jesus' sake, amen. So we've called this talk, What to Do in the Darkness. What do you do when you find yourself in a Psalm 88 state? And this psalm shows us how we can pray. I should say, the guy writing it seems to be depressed. And when you think about depression, this is not the only thing to say. This is not the only way to respond. When you're suffering depression, it's usually helpful to see your GP. Medication can be helpful. There may be other areas of your life that you need to attend to: sleep, exercise, diet, things like that. But this psalm, I think, provides a vital, often overlooked component to how we respond, because it helps us with the question, how do you relate to God when you're in that kind of dark experience? This psalm gives us words that we can pray. So 4 points in your service sheets. Firstly, we can experience deep and prolonged darkness. This is one of the big lessons of the psalm. It's not something that should surprise us if we go through a season of darkness in our lives. Most of us will face something like this at some point. Secondly, we can be honest with God about our experience. In fact, we need to be. Thirdly, we can know that our experience doesn't actually match reality. And fourthly, we can be transformed through that experience. We can find going through this darkness can be the means by which God grows us in profound ways. So that's where we're heading. Firstly, we can experience deep and prolonged darkness. Don Carson, author, pastor, theologian, says, if you live long enough, you will suffer. If you live long enough, you will suffer. Life is not always going to be sweetness and light. We will face hardship, whether it's serious illness or relational breakdown, untimely death of a loved one, redundancy, or many other hardships that come our way. These things affect everyone at one time or another. If you live long enough, you will suffer. Now, we don't know the details of the psalmist's experience. He does speak about rejection from close friends, feeling close to death, but we don't know the details. And in a way, that's a good thing, because it means we can relate more easily to what he's describing. We can read ourselves into the psalm. If we've been through any period of depression where everything just feels dark, then we can relate to this guy. To a degree, we can make the prayers of this psalm our own. It's worth noting that for this writer, his experience of darkness is both external and internal. What I mean by that is, he says, for example, verse 3, I'm overwhelmed with troubles. So that there are clearly things going on outside of him that are overwhelming him. But there's also internal darkness. So he says, verse 14, why, Lord, do you reject me? So there's things going on in his circumstances that are tough, but there's also inner struggle. He's unsure of God's presence with him, God's love for him. He trusts in God, but in his heart, it seems he has no sense of God's love or God's care or God's presence. He feels that God's abandoned him and that it's God who has afflicted him. Now that's a really difficult place to be. You know, when you face external hardships, that can be manageable if you still have an assurance of God's love for you and care for you. But when you've got external hardship and internal darkness, that's pretty unbearable. Another thing this psalm teaches us is that we can suffer this kind of darkness for a prolonged period, a long time. Verse 15, the psalmist says, from my youth I've suffered and been close to death. This isn't something that for him was, you know, over in a few days, a couple of weeks. No, this is a prolonged darkness. Now you might be thinking, what about all the glorious promises of the Bible? What about Romans 8 verse 28 that says God is working in all things for the good of his people? How can Romans 8 28 be true and Psalm 88 be true? Well, I think we hold them together by saying Romans 8 28 is true. God is working for our good. He is always with us. But Psalm 88 is also true because it tells us we don't always feel that. We don't always feel it at all. In fact, our experience can be one in which those truths are far from our consciousness. The expectations that you have of life are hugely significant in how you cope with it. If our expectation of the Christian life is that it's going to be a bed of roses, and I was thinking this week, that is a strange phrase, isn't it? A bed of roses? I mean, is the assumption you've taken all the thorns off? Because otherwise, that's going to be a pretty uncomfortable bed. It might smell nice, but prickly. Anyway, sorry. Our experience of the Christian life isn't all going to be nice and shiny, happy. Because if that's our expectation, then we're going to be really disappointed when we come up against hardships. But if we have this robust view of the world that includes the reality that life can be unbearably hard, that we can experience deep, prolonged darkness, then it kind of prepares us for it. It's still going to be hard, but we're not going to be surprised. So firstly, we can experience deep, prolonged darkness. Secondly, really importantly, we can be honest with God about that experience. In fact, we need to be honest with God. And this is perhaps the biggest learning point from this psalm. The psalmist, feeling overwhelmed with trouble and rejected by God, how does he respond? He tells God about it. And he's shockingly honest, isn't he? He doesn't hold back. He lets it all out. He says, basically, what have you done to me, Lord? What have you done to me? Nick read it so well. Verse 6, you have put me in the lowest pits, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You have overwhelmed me with all your waves. You have taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. A bit further on, verse 11, he says, is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? I think he's saying, look, I want to declare your faithfulness, but you're not answering me. You're not being faithful to me. I think he's actually a bit angry with God. We said earlier, verse 15 points to a prolonged experience of darkness. It could also be that he's kind of reading back on his past life through his present experience. So he's suffering now, and he looks back and he says, it's always been like this. You've always been mean to me, God. You've never been good. Now, those aren't things you're supposed to say to God, are they? When you come into church and you have a conversation with someone, imagine they start talking like the guy in Psalm 88. I don't know about you, I'd probably feel a little bit uncomfortable. Because it sounds kind of blasphemous, doesn't it, to talk in this way? But that is the big lesson from this psalm. When you feel like this, when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel rejected by God, when you don't have any real sense of his presence with you, when it feels as though joy has taken long service leave without your permission, you need to tell God about it. Pour out your heart to him. Tell him how you really feel. The fact that Psalm 88 is in the Bible, I find wonderfully encouraging because it assures us God can handle it. God can handle it. It assures us that God knows how people speak when they're desperate. And it gives us permission. The Psalms more broadly give us permission to ask questions, give us permission to pour out our complaints. I mean, if that is how you feel, it's better to be honest, isn't it? God already knows, so you may as well tell him. When you're in a conflict with someone else, when you're feeling upset, there are different ways to respond, aren't there? One way to respond, and I have to say, I'm guilty of this at times, is to withdraw, kind of stonewall, give the other person the silent treatment. Psalm 88 encourages us not to do that with God. Now, with another human being, there might be circumstances where it's wise to censor how much you share. But with God, he already knows. So you might as well tell him and be honest. You might think, no, Ben, I could never talk to God like that. It just wouldn't be right. And so you suppress it. Or maybe you find you can complain to other people about how life's so tough and it isn't fair, but you don't talk to God. Maybe you've felt this way for so long, you've basically given up on God without ever really talking to him about it. Psalm 88 and the other Psalms tell us we can be shockingly honest. We can be shockingly honest with God. He can take it. I've certainly found in my experience, when I'm feeling the darkness and I pour out my heart to God, when I'm honest with him, it's actually the first step for me in being able to cope with it and come through it. It's worth saying, if this isn't your current experience, and it never has been, you might be thinking, okay, interesting, but pretty irrelevant. Let me say, it will be your experience, probably, at some point, so it's worth listening, filing the lessons away for when that time comes. You certainly will have others close to you who go through this kind of experience. And you can gently encourage them to be honest. Not just complain to you or others, but tell God how they feel. See, we might read Psalm 88 and be a bit shocked at the way the psalmist is speaking to God. But at least he's speaking to God. We might think he doesn't sound very trusting. But the simple fact that he's talking to God reveals his trust. Although he is undoubtedly bitter and despondent and maybe angry, he's processing those emotions with God. He's talking about how he feels to God. He's, as he says, crying out day and night. The way he feels about God might be wrong, but the fact that he's still talking to God is an encouraging sign of faith. So, we can experience deep, prolonged darkness. We can be honest. We need to be honest with God about how we feel. Thirdly and fourthly, more briefly, thirdly, we can know that our experience doesn't match reality. He felt that God had rejected him. He felt the darkness was absolute and permanent, but he was wrong. God hadn't abandoned him. It just felt as if he had. How can you know that? Well, there were wonderful promises that this psalmist would have had, promises in the Old Testament. Psalm 23, which we're going to look at next week, contains the assurance that though I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Our shepherd is with us in the darkness. God says in Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Wonderful promises to hold on to. But for us, living this side of Jesus' coming, we have even greater assurance, don't we? Psalm 88 is about a person overwhelmed with trouble, feeling close to death, devoid of friends, experiencing deep darkness. He cries out, Lord, why do you reject me? Does that remind you of anyone? In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. When Jesus was arrested, all his closest friends deserted him. When Jesus hung on the cross, literal darkness descended on the land. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the awesome thing about Jesus and his experience on the cross is that he was experiencing real darkness. He experienced the true darkness of rejection by God because on the cross Jesus was bearing our sin and the punishment that it deserves. He didn't just have the sense of being abandoned, he was truly abandoned. So that we can feel it, but know it's not true. Jesus experienced the true darkness of hell, so you and I will never have to. We can know that the promises of Romans 8 are true, no matter how we feel, that there is no condemnation, that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love, that God is working in all things for our good. Because of the cross, we can know that these things are true, even when we don't feel them. Because of the cross, we can know our experience does not match reality. We can hold on to love, even when we don't feel it. And fourthly, finally, we can be transformed through our experience of darkness. Psalm 88 was written by a guy called Heman, one of the sons of Korah, who are responsible for a number of the Psalms in the Bible. The book of Chronicles tells us that Heman was one of the three chief songwriters and musicians during the reign of King David. He's also compared with King Solomon as a man of great wisdom. We don't know when in his life Heman wrote Psalm 88, but it could be that his experience of darkness is part of the means by which God formed him as a man of such wisdom and artistic ability. It is certainly true, isn't it, that God often works through suffering to grow his people, like the pressure that turns coal into a diamond, if that's true. It's not the times of ease that shape us and mold our character, but more often the times of hardship, including times of spiritual darkness. See, Romans 8:28 is true. God is working in all things for our good, to make us more like Jesus. And God is working especially in the tough times to do that. Just think about it. When your experience is a kind of Psalm 88 experience, you're not getting anything out of prayer, are you? You might be coming to God and, like Heman says, crying out to God day and night, but you're not getting anything back. No sense of his love, no comfort of his presence, no experience of assurance. And so when you're in the darkness, you have a choice, don't you? Am I going to stick with God come what may, regardless of my experience? Or am I only going to stick with God when I'm getting something out of it, out of the relationship? It's only in times of darkness that you have the opportunity to become someone who serves God, not for what you get back. We don't know for sure what the timing of He-Man's life was, but it could be that it was through his experience of darkness that God formed him as the man who has produced some of the greatest art in the history of the world. Darkness, maybe, turned him into someone great, and it can do the same for us. So as we conclude, what can we do practically? How can we respond? Four quick things. A, B, C, D. A, acknowledge how you feel. Don't suppress it. B, be honest with God. He already knows. He can take it. C, cling to the cross. So on the cross, God's proved his love beyond any doubts. He gave his son. There's nothing more he could do. Even if you don't feel it, cling to the objective reality of the cross. And D, don't give up. Know that your experience won't last forever, and it can be the means by which you grow. So acknowledge it, be honest, cling to the cross, don't give up. Now, as Som said at the start, I recognize this psalm may have raised things you want to talk about, pray about. After the service, Bronwyn and I are going to be just to the side in the sanctuary. If you want to come and do that, just come and talk and pray. But let me lead us in prayer now. Father, thank you for this psalm with all its darkness. Thank you that it's in the Bible, that it teaches us you can handle it when people feel like this. You know how people feel and think, and you can take it. Thank you for the permission it gives us to be honest with you about our feelings, and thank you for the encouragement it gives us to do that, to be honest, as that first step to overcoming those feelings. Help us to be people who cling to the cross and who serve you, not for what we can get out of it, but who serve you for your sake and who cling to your promises, even when we can't see it, your promises of love and care and presence with us. Please make us a community in which we help and support each other well through the hardships that we face. And help us all to be those who persevere through good times and bad times and bring you great honor as we do. Please form us, grow us as people of resilience, people who are strong and mature and wise. We pray it for your honor and glory. Amen.